Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
The words just slipped out. Many who heard them misunderstood the tone. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They're words of faith. They're words of challenge, pain. How hard it must have been to be Martha and others who knew Jesus, who followed Jesus, who trusted and believed Jesus, who witnessed his ministry. They had been present for so many amazing things. They had seen him touch people who were born blind or deaf or unable to walk, and suddenly they were fully functional for the first time in their lives. They had listened to him command demons to leave people who were enslaved by darkness. They had even seen him raise the dead. And so she had hopes. She had hopes long before this moment where she went out to meet Jesus because he had finally come. She sent word to Jesus to make sure that Jesus knew, even though she knew he already knew, because she knew that Jesus knew everything, that her brother had fallen gravely ill. The news came multiple times. Jesus chose to stay where he was. He chose deliberately to stay where he was. When the disciples began to question all of this, and Jesus told them that Lazarus was sleeping, they misunderstood. They thought, oh, well, he's going to get better. And it wasn't the case at all. Jesus had to say to them in so many words, at a distance from that tomb, no, Lazarus is dead. He chose to stay away. Martha wasn't wrong. Martha wasn't wrong in what her expectations were of Jesus, especially in that moment. But Martha had a reaction like any of us would have in a situation like this, that any of us have had in a situation like this. In essence, Martha is also asking for all of us, where were you, Jesus? Where were you, Jesus, God of creation, wrapped in human flesh, in the moment I needed you most, you weren't here. If you were here, it would have turned out differently. But Martha knew. Martha knew that she wasn't really playing it straight. She knew that Jesus had saved people and healed people from a distance just with a command or a thought. She knew Jesus didn't have to be physically present to make the decision, to create that moment. She knew the whole time that she was waiting for Jesus to come, that he knew exactly what was going on, exactly what was going on in her mind and her heart as well. And even though she didn't want to say it, she didn't certainly want to say it the way that it came out and that many would read it for time immemorial. It's not a criticism of Jesus. She believes in him. She believed in him long before this day, and she believed everything about who he was and who he had proven to be, everything he claimed about himself, everything the Old Testament scriptures had spoken about him. There's a gap in our lesson here where Jesus has a similar interaction just between him and Mary as well. And Mary has a very similar approach to her conversation with Jesus. She has the same hopes, the same expectations, the same knowledge of Jesus, the same belief in who he was and what he could do. They were good Jewish girls. They had spent their growing up years going to Saturday school with the other sisters of Hebrew faith. They had spent their time in synagogue worship Saturday after Saturday. They had heard the Old Testament lessons. I have no doubt that they were familiar with the Shunammite woman, a woman who could look the prophet in the eye in that moment and say, everything is all right. To have that kind of confidence that I'm in the right place, I'm talking to someone who has the power of God at his disposal, who has made promises to me, and now those promises have seemed to take a sideways turn from what I expected, so I'm going to hold him to his word. Do you notice? Do you notice in that lesson how once she's in the presence of the prophet, she's not leaving his sight until she has what she's looking for from God? It's not unbelief. It's not misbelief. It's not a lack of trust. It's exactly the opposite. It is an absolute claim, lock hold, grapple hold claim on the promises of God and the reality of what he says he is and what he will do. Martha and Mary, they're no different. Jesus had been a guest in their home. And Jesus had used that opportunity to prepare them for this moment, even though they didn't realize it at the time. Because in that moment and in this moment, what Jesus is all about is getting Martha to focus on the reality that the Word is always there. The Word of God is present in every moment of our lives with the promises that he alone can make, that he alone cannot just make in regard to our immediate and our eternal future, but he alone can make and then fulfill. The scripture is full of promises of God. And Jesus himself, when he was in verbal combat with the ones who would oppose his teaching and his pointing to God's grace and his mercy as the ultimate message from God that he would have us know, not enslavement to obedience, but rather a complete reliance on the gift of righteousness from God that makes us holy and approved to live in his sight. He would point to them often the reality that every promise of God has been kept and that he was no different. The embodiment of God on earth in human form was no different. The words he spoke, the things that he did, the promises that he made, every one of them was going to come true in the course of time and beyond. And he would tell them, look to the Old Testament word, look to the entire gathered word of God, and find there just one place where God doesn't do what he says he's going to do, and realize that when Jesus is asking Martha, do you believe this? He's also asking you. He's also asking you that when in a few moments you speak the paragraphs of that creed that proclaims God to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all of his distinct actions and promises, do you really believe that? Because you start by saying, I do believe that. When you confessed your sins and reminded yourself of baptism as it washed your head and your heart and your soul at some point in your life and made you right before God, do you really believe that? That a little water, when attached to the Word of God, is an eternal bath for the sins that we've committed, creating faith and life and hope? Do you believe that? Do you believe that just a little taste of bread and sip of wine actually convey to you, because of the Word attached to them, forgiveness, strengthening, new life, the ability to live for God from that moment forward like you never have before? Do you believe all of this? Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. See, she's not doubting. She's questioning. She's saying, why did this have to happen in this moment, this way? Why is this God's plan for me, for my brother, for my family, for all who love my brother? Why? And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And listen to what she says. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She hadn't just been listening to the Shunammite woman's story all of those years. She'd also been listening to every time Job was read. She says beautifully here, I know what this is all about. I know this is about death and resurrection to a new life with God forever, that in my own flesh I will see God just like my brother will. She knows all that. She believes it. She holds firmly to it. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Once again, as he has consistently throughout his gospel, John gives us an I am statement of Jesus. And you see in that pattern the unfolding of who Jesus is as true God. Jesus uses about himself that name that God used when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the I am God. I am that I am. It was a name treasured by the ancient Hebrews to the point where they wouldn't even speak it out loud. It was so holy, so precious, so treasured, so saving in its power. And now John lays out for us the case that Jesus is God in human flesh, the Word made flesh. And interspersed with those statements of I am reality come those miracles that back it up with power. This miracle, the one that we read about, where a man walks free from death after 4 days in the grave, is the last big public miracle that Jesus would do. This is just weeks before his entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Do you remember the very first miracle John presents to us? Is Jesus at a wedding of either a family member or a close friend? And all that miracle does that day is save him from embarrassment in one of the worst moments of his life. Far more powerful in this moment, another friend of Jesus is brought back to life in this world despite any availability to think that that was a possibility any longer. That was what was struggling so in the person of Martha and her sister Mary. They had seen it, they had understood it, but 4 days. I mean, Jesus touched the casket of that man, that young man from Nain, whose mother was also a widow and he was her only child, that same day that he died on the way out to the burial. But 4 days in the grave, Martha understood exactly what that meant. She didn't want Jesus to open the tomb. This whole conversation that prepared her to see the most amazing thing she could ever have imagined in her life. She's trying to stop at every step. Don't open that tomb, Jesus. Not in this climate, not at this time of the year. There isn't any way possible we're going to have the worst experience of our lives if you open that tomb. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be disgusting. It's going to be overwhelming. Just the odor itself. Don't do this, Jesus. Clearly, she believes, but she doesn't understand. And who of us hasn't had those moments? They come at us right and left, day after day. It could be so many different things. But we have those moments where we're saying, yes, Lord, I believe, but what are you doing right now? How am I supposed to understand this? How am I supposed to shape myself and my future and my understanding of you and the world in which I live and the relationships that I desire to engage in around this truth of illness or death or financial loss or all the many possibilities that we could name right now that cause those moments for us like Martha was experiencing here? And the reality is, just as uniquely invested as Jesus was in Martha in that moment, he wants you to understand that he's equally invested and interested in you. And he wants you to ask that question, but he wants you to listen to his answers. And he wants you to understand that nothing ever changes in the bigger picture reality of what Christians live every day. The rock-solid certainty of the one person necessary walking the path that we could not walk as our substitute, being flawlessly obedient to the Father in our place, offering that flawless obedience into death as the payment price for our sins, raising himself from the grave on the third day after proving in this moment that he is the resurrection and the life, and death always obeys him. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what questions may enter our minds, especially because we do believe the truth that God has spoken to our hearts, our minds, our souls with such power, with such grace, with such definitive certainty, that whatever it might be, we still believe. We still believe there is a path forward. We still believe that only blessings are coming our way. We still believe that ultimately in the last moment of our lives and the lives of those we love, that it's going to be a moment of deliverance into an eternity that we all long for, a perfection, a glory, a peace, a fulfillment that our hearts know we'll never find here, that has to be beyond us in this life experience. But it is there, and we believe it. And so Jesus raises him from the dead. Jesus raises a man 4 days dead from the grave with just words. A dead man walks out of a grave wearing his grave clothes and needs to be freed from them so he can engage once again in life as normal. No, for him and all of those who loved him, who also loved the Savior, to live the rest of their lives understanding, I do believe. I do believe something beyond anything that the world can offer me that changes everything about my existence and calibrates it all so that it all makes sense, not to me necessarily moment by moment, but to the God who's governing it all, allowing what happens to happen so that I will see his glory, the glory he has given in his Son, and see that everything truly is all right, no matter what the moment holds. So day after day, realize that you're being asked again and again, do you believe? Have the courage of your conviction as Martha had it, to look Jesus in the eye and say yes. Recognize what comes along with that. That recognition is also a confession to Jesus that everything he has planned for you is okay with you, even though it might not be easy for you. Because in the end, everything Jesus has promised you is true and will be true forever. And that can't be said about anything else you read or hear or pursue about any element of human existence beyond this word, that alone remains the truth that you and I can believe and confess and live. Can you imagine anyone that's a believer in this lesson living the same way from that point forward throughout the rest of their lives, especially Lazarus? He had been allowed to experience heaven for 4 days before he almost had to have longed to return there sooner rather than later, right? But it's a simple reality that you and I have been touched by the word, the truth, to believe things that should set us apart and make us different from everyone, especially who doesn't believe. There's no reason not to live it, really, when it's all said and done. Do you believe this? I hope you do. And I hope it changes everything about you now and forever. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.